Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1698, air date June 26th, 2026.
Good evening. All right, good evening, everyone. It's Dr. Shiva Ayadure. This is our open house. The topic today is going to be is about AI and a broader discussion about technology and who will actually AI serve. And what I want to really talk about is that whenever new technology comes, there's always a lot of excitement, particularly revolutionary technologies. And everyone gets excited to say, wow, this is really going to enhance my freedom. It's going to make the world better and so on, right? And we always think when a revolutionary technology comes, it's going to help the broad mass of human beings. But the reality is the dispersion of technology, how much it impacts lives and how much it gets dispersed to the broad mass of people doesn't just occur because of the nature of that technology. It can only occur if people fight for that dispersion. So maybe what I said sounds a little bit abstract, but let me give you some examples. And I've talked about this before, but I want to really give you that background to really talk about artificial intelligence. But if you go back to when the printing press came, and by the way, it was the Chinese who actually invented the first printing presses, not Gutenberg. But anyway, when the printing press first came, people said, oh, I could, you know, print books. Before it was done, you know, by hand, people, these scribes, you know, the monastic scribes used to copy the books by hand. But when the printing press came, the idea was, wow, you know, you could take, you could typeset a book and you can make lots of them. So if you were an author, you could get distribution. So everyone was obviously excited about this. But then if you look at the history of time and not the history of time, but the history of publishing, what emerged was four or five major publishers emerged worldwide, HarperCollins, Penguin, and I think some of them have merged and so on, right? And so the entire industry of publishing and the dispersion of knowledge on the paper medium, which we thought would help many, many people, is actually controlled by a finite set of publishers, right? So you have to get a book deal, right? To make it big as a New York Times bestselling author, you have ghostwriters, and then you have agents. So if you are a person with a great idea for a book, in order to make it out there, you actually have to get an agent. The agent has to then, you pay the agent whatever, 15, 20%. The agent then gets you into a big publisher. And you frankly don't get, you don't make a lot of money because the big publishers don't even promote you anymore. But at the end of the day, there's all these gatekeepers, right? So you're becoming quote unquote a famous author is not based on the quality of your work. It's based on who you know and the gatekeepers that you get out there. So that's an example of what happened. Consolidation of a technology and control by a few. You can look more in the recent past when the internet came. Well, the internet's been around, as you know, for many years, starting in various forms in the 1960s. But when the World Wide Web came, which put a mouse-based interface on this thing called the internet, everyone was very excited because you could build something called a web page. Every one of us could have our own website. Imagine all of us being artists wanting to sell their paintings. In the model that existed prior to the internet, you had to go get an agent, and then the agent would promote you to galleries. The artist never really made a lot of money unless there was some, you know, very interesting type of advertising that took place and storytelling, right? But anyway, the gatekeeper was the gallery owner. And when we created a site called Arts Online, the idea was you could create your own website, you could put your artwork up, and we enabled this whole capability to do that. And the idea was everyone had their websites. But eventually what ended up happening was Facebook, YouTube, Amazon, three or four major consolidators emerged. and your ability to sell your product, your ability to get your stuff out, was directly a function of these major providers. And then, as many of you know, we found out that the government got involved and they controlled the content provisioning. So if you said something negative against the government, which is what happened in my case when we exposed the fact that the government was, the government of Massachusetts was deleting ballot images, committing election fraud, I get thrown off Twitter because the government calls one of these four consolidators, right? So it wasn't really about free speech anymore, dispersion of knowledge. It was about a finite set of people controlling this very powerful technology. And even now, if you're trying to build a bottoms-up movement or grow it, which is what we're doing, we get shadow banned, we get censored. But if you're someone like Fucker Carlson or opportunists like Thomas Massey or Candace Owens or Bernie Sanders, you're no threat because you're just yapping about shit that took place 10 years ago, exposing stuff. You're never talking about anything relevant. That's okay. But if you're teaching people the theoretical framework of how to fight, if you're building a community and you're actually giving action, that is dangerous and you will be shadow banned by one of these five consolidators, right? So, and I'll talk about how we're fighting that. The future is actually offline and you'll understand why. So now you go to AI. So here artificial intelligence comes. Everyone gets very, very excited about using it. There's a lot of excitement, right? Because you could use this stuff for, I have to go to, planning my vacation. I got to go to all these towns I want to drive. AI will figure out for you the best route, right? Oh, I want to make a recipe of some new concoction of something. And you ask your AI. I mean, there's so many interesting uses of AI, right? So people see, AI could help me solve medical problems, right? And there's sort of infinite possibilities. Right when AI comes, people start saying, well, I could do this, I could do that, I could do this, etc. But when you now look at what's going on with the AI boom, there's probably four major companies that are putting a significant amount of investment in AI. Apple, Google, right? You know, the ChatGPT guys, the Anthropic guys, right? So there's a finite set of people and they're funded, backed by billionaires and trillionaires or groups of, consolidated people with immense amount of wealth. And what those people are doing is they're centralizing the computational capabilities of AI, no different than what Facebook did. You know, YouTube consolidated video, Facebook consolidated posts, right? Tweets, right? Amazon consolidated the movement, the logistics piece. So similarly, that's what's going on with AI. But the consolidation here is occurring with computation, because AI is about computing information to come to a conclusion, right? It's about computation. You're taking vast amounts of information, human knowledge, someone types in a prompt, and to compute that prompt, because AI is really not intelligence, it's artificial intelligence, you're computing large matrices, you're doing large scale linear algebra, large scale cluster analysis, quote unquote, machine learning, and you're computing stuff. So this requires immense amount of energy. And this has led to the need for data centers because, by the way, most of this technology has existed. I worked on a lot of it back in the late 80s, early 90s. What has occurred is you can do a lot of the computation on a chip, which has a lot more transistors than it did ever before. And when you're doing these kind of computations, there's a lot of heat being generated, which means you need to cool the chips, right? So you need to use a lot of water. And this is why you see all the uproar, because these large guys, four or five guys, are building massive data centers like you've never seen before. And you need tremendous amount of cooling, tremendous amount of water, tremendous amount of energy. Some of them
are probably going to build their own nuclear power plants. So that's what's going on. So what you call compute, the computational effort to do this being consolidated by a few. Now, that's what's going on right now. So the question is, will AI serve us, we the people, bottoms up, or will it serve the few? Well, if you look at it, what occurred in past technologies, unless people fight, and people haven't typically done this because when these recent technologies came, people really sort of couldn't comprehend these technologies fully, and there wasn't really any mass movements. In fact, over the last 50 years, movements, political movements, have been completely contained and suppressed or controlled by a controlled opposition, what we call the not-so-obvious establishment. Until, you know, you could say in the recent past, 2020, until we came along, meaning Truth, Freedom, Health. And Truth, Freedom, Health says, no, there is a way to fight, and you need three components. You need theory, community, and action. It's an innovation. You need theory, the understanding of how systems work. Now, you can go learn that at MIT, but they don't teach you community in action. They just teach you from a control system standpoint. But we teach all of our people theory, the same level of stuff that you could learn in a PhD program at MIT. The problem is you have a lot of unconscious, arrogant people who think they know it all. And some of them have been in our movement, and we have to send them off because they won't actually finish the course. They think they know it all. And they always fail, but we have created the theoretical framework, number one. Number two, you need a community. We've created the infrastructure. We host these orientations. We have leadership. We have an organization. We're not a bunch of anarcho-syndicalists, you know, random. Hold on one second. Hold on one second, guys. If you can continue, I'll be right back.
Stay.
Sorry about that. So what you've had is you've had this infinite consolidation of computing where who can do AI is limited to a few set of people. And that's why you have this AI boom. All of these companies are investing because they have so much cash on their books. They have to put it somewhere. So they're investing a lot of this in here. But all of the AI that they're doing is dependent on large scale compute. The quote unquote AI, which is really beyond AI that we built on at Cytosol, for example, can run on a small server. Much different type of computation that we're doing. It doesn't require all this energy. If quantum computing comes, it's gonna also break that. But right now, the AI that these guys are doing is based on massive amounts of energy and computation. So from a swarm standpoint, they want centralization. They want a few people to own that compute because now what they can do is consolidate human knowledge, human endeavor, and use it for all sorts of nefarious capabilities. So you have this very powerful capability for AI. Is it really going to be used for advancing medicine, right? Because the American Medical Association, the large big pharma guys, who are all part of this, are not going to allow a lot of that to take place, right? Because they want humanity to be dependent on big pharma and big medicine. So to the extent they're going to allow AI, it's going to be in a very, very limited way, and they're probably going to come out heavily against it, saying there's a lot of things that you cannot do. And you'll see restrictions starting to come on this. So the dispersion of AI, how much it actually gets used, will be a function of who controls the compute. Now, there's some very interesting developments that could take place that we, the people, could own AI. For example, why isn't the computation of AI decentralized to communities? So every local community has their own small data centers, maybe powered by different types of local energy, which means you have to do two things. You have to fight for policies which say, let us decentralize local energy production, which is possible these days. Because if you can do local energy production, which are based on some, you know, there's a lot of different ways to produce energy. Geothermal energy is a very powerful way. You can, in fact, have local small nuclear reactors that are run by local communities. There's all these other energy forms that could be fully explored. But the swarm has no interest in doing that, because if more people could have access to energy at lower cost, that means they lose control. So ultimately, computation is going to be a very interesting area of fight. So if you, what we teach and what systems theory tells us is there's three ways that the manifestation of existence takes place: information, matter, and energy. It's a triumvirate. Information, matter, and energy. And what we're talking about when we talk about compute is information. Well, that information, the computation, which is the information piece, requires matter and energy, right? You need to burn, let's say in this case, oil or coal to power electrical grids so you can have these CPUs running to process information. So it's an amazing opportunity to see how information, matter and energy consolidate among each other. So, I mean, interspersed. So this is going to be the point where who owns the energy production, who owns the computation, and how is this going to actually be democratized? And it's not just going to happen. It's going to require a fight. So the future in many ways of all of us and humanity is going to be a direct function of, particularly with AI, as I've talked about before, because AI could lead to complete loss of many, many jobs. It could lead to massive surveillance. And he or she who owns the compute is going to control that. So I would argue that the development of AI is going to force human beings, particularly as technology, to decide, do you want to fight or do you want to let things go on the way they are, in which case there will be massive consolidation of computation, which means of power. 1 second. Okay, sorry about that. A little bit of dog problem here. But anyway, so that's what's going to come down to. So what we're saying is, given the fact that AI represents this coming together, matter, energy, and information, which means the computation of information, the issue of energy consolidation, it opens up, it basically leads to the point that the only way out of this is that people have to fight for decentralization of the compute. And that can only happen if you build a mass movement bottoms up. Otherwise, where this is headed is a finite set of people are going to own AI. They will have all this power and they're going to look around and say, why the fuck do I need all these human beings? Because I can do a lot with less people. And that's one path that they can execute on. And human beings, to that extent, as I've talked about before, will be sort of an interesting entertainment to those people, like Disney World. They may keep humans around to entertain people, but it's not going to be something that means that it's a benefit for all of us. So this is where the fight, it's basically going to be a life or death situation in many ways, because AI is not like the internet in some ways. It's in some ways, it's not like, you know, the PC. These were interesting, or like building the manufacturing line. AI is more like the creation of electricity, or the creation of, or the discovery of fire. It's that radical. And the transformation it can bring can transform human existence at a very, very fundamental level. And which direction that goes in, we have a window to fight for that. And the only way to fight for that is to build and grow bottoms-up movements. And that's what Truth Freedom Health is. Truth Freedom Health is the only force right now that I know of on this planet that has understood this at a very, very deep level, and why we need to build the bottoms-up movement. Now, what's interesting to understand is that in the United States, and probably globally, I haven't had a chance to study all the global particular developments in some of the different countries in terms of how political trends are taking place in what I call the independent movement. But in the United States, it's pretty obvious. The swarm, the centralized consolidation of power, has typically had two wings, the Democrats and the Republicans, to try to keep people divided and on their plantation. And as we've described, they've also created the not so obvious versions of the Democrats and Republicans, because as people are starting to leave the Democrats and Republicans, they needed a hook to keep them. So they created sort of the left wing of the Democrats, like the Bernie Sanders and the AOC, and they created the right wing of the Republicans, like the Rand Pauls, or the libertarians like Thomas Massey, who talk a good game. In fact, they'll even attack their own establishment to keep them on the Republican-Democrat establishment. But over the last 20 years, there's been an explosive trend where people are realizing that both parties suck and people have registered as independents. Doesn't mean that they are wanting to build a bottoms-up movement, but something deep inside of them has made them realize something is wrong, and that neither of these parties really serve me. So people have started to register as independents. In the United States, globally, 54 million people are independents. It's a pretty big trend, which is nearly 48% of the people. And if you then look at it among the other 52%, 27%, I believe, are Democrats, 25% are Republicans. So it's very close. But the majority group are independents. And then in Massachusetts, as I've talked about, 65% of the public is independent voters. But the news media says, oh, Massachusetts is a blue state. Well, it's really not a fucking blue state. It's an independent state. And America is really not Democrat or Republican. It's a bunch of independents. But the media, again, another consolidation of power, pummels to people that you must choose between left or right, Tweedledee and Tweedledum, Democrat or Republican. So what's ended up happening is that that is the way they keep people on the plantation. The next step, once you've figured out that you need to not be part of these two wings, is then the recognition you need to build a bottoms-up movement. The mass of the people are not there yet, but they're heading in that direction. And to move forward in that direction faster, you need leadership. You need a movement that guides people out in that direction, guides people off the plantation. That's what Truth Freedom Health is. Truth Freedom Health is a historical innovation at the right place at the right time right now. And what we are saying is that the developments in AI are going to force people to have to fight to make sure this technology gets dispersed to the masses. Otherwise, the masses of people are actually fucked. The masses of people may not be masses of people anymore. There may not be a need for them. So the only way out of this is that people must organize and build a bottoms-up movement to ensure this technology is used in the right way for the masses of people. And if used in the right way, we have no idea of the incredible things it could deliver to in a large scale, which it can. But the only way it's going to get there is through a bottoms-up movement. So, for example, my running for U.S. Senate, our running for U.S. Senate, our movement, is something quite phenomenal, because what we're saying is, here is an opportunity. You have someone of my background in a movement that has now emerged, that our winning a U.S. Senate seat and how we win that Senate seat inspires people on what it means to build a bottoms-up movement or grow a bottoms-up movement. And in order to do that, we are saying we must go offline, because you cannot do this online. You cannot build a bottoms-up movement online on the platform that is owned by the swarm. Does that make sense? Because what we're saying is, we're not Tucker Carlson, we're not Candace Owens, we're not Thomas Massey, right? These are all opportunists. These people are not revolutionaries who want to grow bottoms-up movement to shatter the swarm. They are watching, by the way, using AI, which way people are thinking, which way people want to go, and they just throw out rhetoric to people to make people think they're fighting, but all they're doing is keeping people on the plantation. What we are saying is, we must grow bottoms-up movement. We need to build an organizational structure to do that. Truth, Freedom, Health, we have to develop leaders. That's not going to be supported by the very establishment vehicles, which is against us, okay? So the only way to do this is offline. So let me give you what that looks like. Actually, Suresh or someone, can you go to our website, shivaforsenate.com? Can you guys bring it up, somebody? Can someone bring it up, or do you want me to bring it up?
I can pull it up if you want.
Yeah, if you bring it up. So if people go to shivaforsenate.com, what we decided was, A, we need to go offline. Offline meaning directly communicating people to the extent. So if you go to Shiva, this is our movement, truthfreedomhealth.com's website. By the way, all of you should, if you haven't gone there, go up. We have ways that anyone can participate. But if you go to Shiva for Senate, if you click on that, .com, yeah, and you scroll down, you will see that we've put together materials for all of you. You know, it's got videos, go down. It's got the different campaign events that are coming. By the way, we have a couple of barbecues coming up very soon. People can participate in community events. And you can tell all you people in Massachusetts come, but we also run a telethon every day where everyone here can participate online in making phone calls. We have hundreds of people helping us do that. You can hand out flyers. You can be part of the call-a-thon. But one of the things we've done is a download. If you click on the left one, whoever's running it, this flyer, you know, I've done a lot of flyers in my life, and I really believe in them. And those of you who really want to have a real experience in your life of connecting with others and making change, go out and hand out a flyer in front of a train station or grocery store. You will have the most amazing experience because you're interacting with people live. You have to know how to hand out the flyer that will engage people to want to take your flyer. Now, this flyer is a one-page flyer, and I would say of the thousands of flyers that I've done since I'm 14 years old as an activist, this is lightning in a bottle. You know, just stay on the top, please. Stay there. Don't scroll, please. Stay there. So let me tell you what we've done here. What's powerful about this flyer is 65% of Massachusetts is independent, which means people are saying, I want to get off the plantation. Yet, 90% of people in Massachusetts don't know that they are the majority. This is the power of how the existing swarm brainwashes people to not even know their own power. So I was out last Saturday handing this out, and people were like, I didn't know this. And I would simply hand out the flyer and I'd say, independent for U.S. Senate. The Democrats obviously didn't want to take the flyer, which is great because they're only 26% of Massachusetts. And I don't give a fuck about the Republicans because they're only 6%. But the 65% who were walking out of the store, they'd say, holy shit, This is true. So the headline, 65% of Massachusetts independent. Now, this is simple black and white paper. And you're handing it to someone very viscerally. They're taking it on their Saturday or their Sunday when they're leaving a grocery store. They have time to read. They want to engage. And if you zoom in a little bit, on the left side, what does it say? If you can just zoom in a little bit, what does it say? 65% are independent, but it says, yet, scroll down, we keep voting only Democrat or Republican. That's a very nice way of saying, what the fuck are you doing? You're independent. Why are you voting for these two numbnuts? And then it scrolls down and it says, look what voting for them has gotten us, which means the 65%. Well, what has it gotten us? Housing is frankly unaffordable. And this is not only true in Massachusetts, across the country. We're all being crushed with the cost of living. Just go look at the cost of anything, meats, etc. Their healthcare has made us sicker. Elections are not transparent. They delete freaking ballot images. And most of the roads and bridges, Massachusetts got a D minus in infrastructure. So scroll back up. So even though you're the 65%, you keep voting for DNR, and scroll down, look what they've gotten for you. So when people see this, they're blown away because they've never seen this. And then we say, and then we give the message, only we, the 65%, can end this. Vote independent. So the problem, they've never voted independent because A, as I talked about two lectures ago, they're told all the reasons not to vote independent. You're throwing away your vote. You know, we have to vote for the lesser of two evils. You have to choose between a pedophile and someone who wants to blow up the world. Pedophiles are in that world better. You lower people's standards, etc. And to the right, go to the scroll to the right. We're now saying, look, there is an independent candidate. Scroll up to the top, please. Who's not a politician. His name is Dr. Shivaya Dure. He's part of the Movement for Truth and Health. He's an engineer. He's an inventor. He's got all the fucking credentials you'd ever want. 4 degrees at MIT, solve problems, go down. He has really, you know, important core values as me, right? I've always felt courage over fear, service over selfishness, responsibility over dependence, truth over manipulation, independence over submission. And then furthermore, I've been a 45-year resident of Massachusetts, longer here than the other two idiots who are out there. And I've grown up mowing lawns and working my butt off. I got a bunch of degrees. I started companies and I actually created thousands of jobs. So you have an independent who actually has delivered. And then below that, we give them the policy. Oh, what's your policy? Well, the policies are right there. I know how to end the housing shortage. We know how to lower the cost of living. We're going to break up these monopolies. We're going to decentralize. We know how to deliver longevity for all. You have to take a systems approach to health, right? You have to ensure that it's not about one size fits all medicine. You have to eliminate middlemen who are doing price gouging. And when it comes to fair elections, I'm the guy who exposed all these voting machines at the bottom line. I'm the one that's saying everything should be paper ballots. I'm the one who recently exposed that Israel, all of their elections are paper ballots because they don't believe the machines are safe. And yet Israel is the center of election fraud all over the world. And then finally, if we say, if you want roads and bridges, you have to end foreign wars. You have to recognize that there are the reason bridges and roads take so long is the corruption. And in other countries, 2 years is what you need to get construction approvals. In the United States, it takes 10 years. So we actually have real solutions. And the point we're making is the choices we make reflect the world we create. So we're telling the audience offline, hey, all of this world that you see around you is not a result of the assholes. It's a result of the fact that you keep choosing assholes. Go down. So we're not some victims. We're actually the creators of our own world. So point is, you are independent. Now vote independent. So zoom out. So this is a very powerful flyer. And what's really cool is I want to encourage all you guys because we're going to get a bunch of these printed. I enjoy there's nothing like, for me, if I could hand out flyers 8 hours a day and engage with people, I would. And if you haven't done it, it'll make a man or a woman out of you. You can talk all the shit you want on social media type, but go out and put your ass on the line, handing out a flyer, looking someone in the eye, and see if you can engage them to take it in 3 seconds. Your salesperson, let's see if you can do that. And that's what this is about. This is about engaging people offline, not on fucking Elon, Zionist, apartheid Musk's ketamine platform or Mark Zuckerberg's platform, on your platform. That's the opportunity we're giving you. It's to get off this fucking plantation. That's what this movement's about. And their goal of using technology is to make you addicted to it, to be subjugated to it. I encourage everyone, at least for 2 hours a day, leave your fucking iPhones at home, get out with your dogs or whatever you have, or drive around with nothing. You will see that you'll actually start looking around and seeing the world. Go hand out a flyer, paper, physical. They don't want you to live in the physical world. They want you to live in their realm of control. So our movement is giving you the opportunity to experience life and liberation. Theory, community, action. Theory, community, action. Just like when I created email, you needed inbox, outbox, folders. Well, if you're going to revolutionize the world and change it, you need to understand system science. We have it. You need a community. You need organizational structure. Not like we have organizations. We do have leaders. We have a hierarchy. We have respect. We are creating an infrastructure that will do better than their infrastructure. To think it's just going to happen without any organization, without respect and structure, you're out of your fucking mind. To think that you're going to beat them on their platform, that's insanity. That little piece of paper you hand out, you're going to make more change than being on social media. And a lot of what I'm saying may not fully, you may get it, I get it, but you're not going to really get it until you get on the ground and you hand out a flyer. So we know how to win this campaign, but we're not going to be able to do it without you waking up, because we need people. So we've created the infrastructure. You have a great candidate in me and our movement, but we need people out there. And we give people two opportunities. You can go make phone calls. We made it so easy for you to onboard. The only thing is your own laziness stopping you, or your lack of appreciation for recognizing that we have to grow this incredible movement that has been built bottoms up. And the other opportunity is to physically get on the ground. We've had, and you can be wherever you are in the world, you're welcome to come to Massachusetts, experience this, because by winning a United States Senate seat bottoms up on our terms is really going to inspire other people and fuck up the opposition. The reason I am shadow banned is not just because of what I say, but it's what I represent. You see, I have never compromised to them. Everything I have earned, everything I've done has been on my terms without compromise. The invention of email took place outside the military industrial complex. I came from an Indian caste system and broke out of it purely through hard fucking work. And anyone can do that at a fundamental level. What they want people to not understand is their own divinity within themselves and what's possible if you set a goal and you work hard towards that, that you can achieve incredible things. They don't want you to know that. They want you to think you need them. You have to suck Zionist cock. Elon Musk is the biggest Zionist cocksucker. This guy is a volunteer slave. Every one of his businesses come from cocksucking. That's what he does for a living. So that cocksucker must shadow ban me because I never suck cock. That's the reality, okay? So our movement, the people in our movement's all volunteers. It's all based on meritocracy. Not, you know, you're in some prostitutional relationship and you buy me dinner or something. That's not how you move ahead. It's based on hard work. And the notion of someone coming up bottoms up, working hard, uncompromisingly and succeeding, which is what I've done, they don't want that story to come out. They need good house niggers. That's what they need. Okay. So our movement is saying you don't need them. Fuck them. Go out and hand out a fucking flyer. Oh, I'm being shadow banned. Fine. Fucking shadow ban me. But that flyer is power. And I've seen it. You hold it at waist level and you say independent for US Senate. People say, holy shit. This is like pure lightning in a bottle. So how do we win? The only way we can win now is for enough people to raise their consciousness. Is it going to happen? Definitely. But you hold in your power to accelerate this. But we're moving on a timeline. There's two timelines. They're moving like this to consolidate power, build data centers, make AI for them, for the few. And if we're moving at this timeline, we're fucked. We need to move like this. My running for Senate gives you an opportunity to move like this and experience victory. So wherever you are, you know, get off your butt, come to Massachusetts if you want, help us hand out flyers, because we will win this campaign, because 65% are independent, 2.2 million people vote in this election, 70% are independent, 1.5 million people. Those 1.5 million people right now, stupidly, are voting for two fucking idiots. But if those 1.5 million people get our flyer in their hand, we have seen the data. 70% will vote for me. We need these flyers to get out. We win on our terms, handing out a little 2 cents flyer while they're going to spend $50 million. That's a big fuck you to them. And it's a big inspiration to everyone. So our movement is giving people an opportunity to show and flex their own muscles. The issue is, will you do it? Will you do it? It's really up to you. Everything is set up for you here. The curriculum, the community, the activities, and this little flyer. Or you can do it from your home, make phone calls. But you got to do one or the other. We only have 3-4 months left. And if we don't win this election, it's not because of our movement. It's because people saw all this and they're so entranced by the surveillance state people have done that they're, or their own laziness. And I believe that's, I believe the infrastructure we put in place is inspiring people not to do that. We're getting hundreds of people signing up to make phone calls now. We need thousands of people handing out these flyers. So get involved. Let's take some Q&A. But the bottom line is technology and the dispersion of technology is not going to happen unless we fight. And in order to fight and win, you need a movement. That movement is Truth Freedom Health. And for Truth Freedom Health to grow, you need to understand theory, community, and action. And you need to experience that. Forget even the theory. Go hand out these flyers, because then you'll learn the importance of theory. Let's take some Q&A.
Great. Yeah, thank you, Dr. Shiva. So everyone, please put your questions in the chat. Like I mentioned before, click the chat icon at the bottom, press new chat to send your questions to either the host, myself, or other co-hosts. You can do that. We are not going to call on any raising hands. Formulate your questions in the chat, and then we can follow up. Dr. Shiva will follow up with them.
Yeah, and Andrew, I know last time you texted me, right? On people on YouTube and social media, you're welcome to do that. And you can take away this flyer now. We can just go to video. Oh,
sorry. No, go ahead.
Yeah, no worries. All right.
So any questions?
Ask, yeah. You can ask about the movement, about AI, how you can get involved. By the way, as I'm talking, people can go to Shiva for Senate. It's in the chat. Sign up to be a volunteer. If you know people in Massachusetts, close people, we need people handing out these flyers. People get them. We're going to win this election. Guaranteed. That flyer is lightning in a bottle.
I've added the Shiva for Senate in the chat.
Tobias says, what is the app to make phone calls? So Tobias, so can someone onboard Tobias? Tobias, all you need is to download the app. Our team members will show you how to do it, and we'll get you onboarded. Barb or Nicholas, we have a set of team leaders will call you. Can someone get Tobias onboarded, please, right away? By the way, Tobias is in Norway. To everyone listening, wherever you are, you can be in any part of the world, and you can make phone calls to people in Massachusetts. What we're doing is we're making phone calls and telling them to vote for Dr. Shiva. You can be anywhere. And by the way, when you use this app, it's not being, we're not, your phone is not being charged. Your phone number is protected. You're using our app. And if some, what the phone number people see is our office phone number. You're not paying for it. We are paying for it. Okay. So it's a very powerful way for anyone with any, you can do it on your computer, your Android, or your iPhone. Wherever you are. And by the way, don't worry about your accent. We have people with thick, you know, Scandinavian accents, Indian accents, Spanish accents, making calls from everywhere throughout the world and being very successful in getting people to say, yes, I'm going to vote for Dr. Shiva. So you have no excuse. If people from halfway around the world are calling people, the question is, what are you doing? So get involved. It's a lot of fun. You get to meet people. You get to understand what does it mean to take action. Next. To people on social media, you're welcome to we have our people monitoring Facebook, LinkedIn, et cetera. So you can also put up your questions.
If any of our co-hosts get any questions, please go ahead and submit those to Dr. Shiva.
And
not yet.
We have team captains now throughout Massachusetts. So when you want to go hand out flyers, don't feel like you're going to be alone. And I'm going to, over the next 14 weeks, every Saturday and Sunday at minimum, I'll be at these 10 different locations. And we have different team captains at those locations. So you're not going to be alone. There's always going to be someone there that you can do this with. Yeah, go ahead, read it. Yeah, so it's interesting. We were talking about this. You know, whenever a new technology comes, and from a stock market standpoint, people get all hype into that. But in a weird way, it's like the Ouroboros, the thing that created a trend sometimes eats itself up. Meaning, in this case, all these companies are building huge data centers or investing in these huge data centers. But the reality is, as the gentleman mentioned, there's either going to be new developments in hardware, or there's going to be new developments in computing, like quantum computing, which will basically reduce a lot of the heat that's being generated. So all these people that build these large data centers, you know, there's going to be a bust, which will probably occur over the next 3 years, just like occurred in the internet field or the biotech field. Everyone, for example, in Cambridge was building lab space. Well, they overbuilt the lab space out of their greed, right? FOMO, fear of missing out, always exists. So yeah, so there's going to be, you know, the data center development at a certain point is going to eat itself alive because there'll be a new technology or some advances that completely obviate the need to build these large data centers.
Dr. Shiva, I have a question here from Robert Punko. It says, how will your success help with my situation in Canada, dealing with our tyrannical government and the movement towards the NWO?
Well, first of all, it's not my run. So Robert, I'm not sure if you've been to this meeting, awesome. But here's the reality. What the Movement for Truth, Freedom, Health is based on fundamental principles of system science. And if you want to be successful, and by the way, to just, Robert, I don't know if you may be aware, you can go look at the early websites. We built one of the first websites to support the truckers movement in Canada. In fact, when that movement first started taking place, and if you remember, truckers from the United States were being stopped from going to Alaska. And that's when we put out a call. We said, not only should the truckers in Canada and the truckers in the United States unite, but other working people should unite. Our movement in Canada handed out tens of thousands of flyers out all over Canada. And the message we sent was that we need to build this bottoms-up movement with the right theory. And if you look back at the truckers movement in Canada, it was led by some well-meaning people, but they didn't have the right theoretical framework. And there's a manifesto and a follow-up analysis that I wrote that you can find up online. But we were very much involved on the ground and polemically in the truckers movement. But you need not just action, which is what took place with the truckers movement, but you have to have the right theoretical framework. So Robert, I highly encourage you, I don't know where you are in terms of understanding our movement, but you have to go through the training. What we have put together is no different than what, you know, in any field of engineering people put together. There's a curriculum, there's a framework, there's a architecture, there's faculty to, let's say, to really understand, you know, mechanical engineering or to understand aeronautical engineering. Well, where is the framework to understand political engineering, how to build revolutionary movements? That's what we are. And without this framework, you're fucked. You can do this, you can do that. You can say, I'm out there protesting, you know, I'm building an organization. But without understanding the theory and having the community and taking the right action at the right time, any movement is going to fail. Guaranteed. You have to have all three. And that is what we put together. So I highly encourage you to get involved in the Warrior Scholar Program, step one, and think about it as you're going to school. And it contains both theory, you know, you have a community, and you have a laboratory experience of taking action. So that is what's going to be needed. And it was unfortunate because when the truckers movement came up in Canada, we were just emerging there. And, you know, if we had been there 2 years before, we would have taken that truckers movement to a different level. Okay. So that's what this framework can support you in. My running for office is a example of how people can get involved, right? So it just so happens I'm running in Massachusetts, but when you think about it, Massachusetts is the headquarters of the global swarm that actually controls Canada. The intellectual prostitutes, academics in Massachusetts manipulate the world, be it Canada, be it India, be it New Zealand, et cetera. So my winning or our winning a Senate seat here is like a bomb would have gone off. And that's why it's important for everyone to understand a United States senator and the policies that they do doesn't just affect the working class in the United States, it affects the global working class wherever they are. So that's why this is important, because in many ways we're giving people all over the world the opportunity to reflect on this and have a much more pervasive view of their activism. This is why Anna, you know, in Finland is calling Massachusetts, because she gets it. But this requires a pretty high state of consciousness to understand our high state of political consciousness. So get involved. Good question.
Uh, I have a question here from Melanie Marshall. It says, what is a local action we can all take today to create community with our neighbors and share this movement?
So one of the things, Melanie, that you can do, and this is, it's a great question, is we have these cards, okay? You can get online. And in fact, there's an electronic version you can send to people. It says shatterthesworm.com. Shatter the swarm. Save yourself. You can send that to your neighbors because it's a 15-minute short video, and it takes about 100 years worth of knowledge. You could talk about very academic knowledge of control system science, but I've made it very easy for anyone to understand who are the people that control them at a very deep level and what we must do to break from that control. It's called shatterthesworm.com. And there's a card that goes with it, says save yourself. No one is coming to save you. And it has a graph on there. I don't know if someone can bring it up. It shows, you know, it shows cost of living going up and lifespan coming down. And it's a very simple way of telling people, there it is. So that card, and by the way, this is in about 100 different languages, okay? And we've done videos of this. So that's something you can print it out. You can go to your local printer, give it to people. That's one thing, Melanie, everyone can do. Shatter the Swarm is a killer video, and it's done on the whiteboard. I did it with just one take. So I recommend people to go watch that. It's right there. Share it with people. And I think we played at the beginning of the video, but you can just say, go to shatterthesworm.com. That's something people can do. If they want to actually help us much more specifically on the Senate campaign, tell them to go to shivaforsenate.com. But Shatter the Swarm is a video that is really and will enlighten them to understand that those who control us are not in some country called Israel, not in some banking family called the Rothschilds. They're not, you know, a bunch of billionaires on Wall Street. They're a highly distributed swarm, and they'll understand that. Does that help, Melanie?
So I've added those links in the chat for everyone to reference to. Again, after this, go ahead, download those flyers whenever. You can just place them wherever you go, in your car, in your bike, in your bag. Just have them ready, and you'll have access to them at any point.
Yeah, and Melanie, the thing is, you can also tell people to come to the orientation. And we've had people from all over the country come here to help us, you know, collect signatures to get on the ballot. I was just driving around from 8 a.m. this morning to 4 p.m., you know, collecting signatures and dropping it off. You won't find very few Senate candidates who actually get their hands dirty and actually go do work. They go raise money from donors. It's a swarm moving around Capitol. Like one wing of the swarm gives them money to go give it to their consultants and the other wing of the swarm. It's totally just ludicrous. They're not even campaigning. It's all bullshit. What we're doing is actually campaigning.
I don't see any more questions.
Okay, I see two more in the chat here. Okay, those are videos you put up.
Yeah, the links to them.
Yep. Anyway, we're very close. Before July. By the way, you have in order to get on the ballot in Massachusetts, they make it the hardest of any in any part of the world, a part of the United States, you have to go collect, you know, like 15,000 signatures. And then you have to take them to one of 351 towns to get certified. And then you have to pick up those signatures from those one of 351 towns, which are spread out across, you know, 200 miles. And they have to bring them to the Secretary of State for us to verify them. And in spite of all the bullshit that they've done with not raising millions of dollars, we've gotten on the ballot 3 times right now, and all through people power. Anything else?
I don't see any more questions on my end, Dr.
Okay. Schiller. Well, I hope you all get involved and you use this as an opportunity to actually experience what it means to be a free human being off the plantation. And you take the first step to that, it'll be very liberating for you. So take advantage of all this infrastructure we've created. It's really been created as a service to you. And to the extent you use it, you'll grow. It's the more you put into this, the more you grow. All right. Thanks, Noel. Great job. Thanks to everyone.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Dr. Shiva.
Yep.
We have allowed our country to be taken over from within. And the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to, and we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that, and that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left wing, right wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train a army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media, we need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We gotta train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up. Working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You've got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you, the Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own quote-unquote people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhealth.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics. And I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. Now, the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhealth.com, so people can sign in, they can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there, but we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhealth.com. Welcome to VA Shiva. VA Shiva is a product of my journey across East and West, science and tradition, ancient and modern, that brings you the science of systems so you can become a force for truth, freedom, health. VA Shiva is a platform of revolutionary education, community building, and weaponry for unleashing local activism. My journey to VA Shiva begins in the chaos of Bombay, where I experienced diverse religions, languages, castes, and in a small village that had no running water, no electricity, where my grandmother, a poor village farmer, practiced Siddha, an ancient system of Indian medicine over 10,000 years old. She observed one's face, the art of Samudrika Lakshanam, to understand a body's unique constitution, allowing her to deliver the right medicine for the right person at the right time. Watching my grandmother heal others, I was inspired to study medicine. But I was also aware of the corrupt caste system of India, which denigrated a human being, where my family were considered low caste untouchables, where one's birth determined one's destiny. The grit and determination of my mother and father led them to get educated and to come to America, a one in a trillion event. Their actions inspired me to work hard and excel. While in ninth grade, I attended New York University in a computer science program, and subsequently, at the age of 14, was given a full-time job as a research fellow at what is now known as Rutgers Medical School in the heart of Newark, New Jersey. There I investigated the system of sleep using mathematics, computer science, and biology for sudden infant death syndrome. It was there in Newark where I invented email when I was the first to convert every feature of the physical, paper-based inner office mail system, including inbox, outbox, memo, carbon copy, blind carbon copy, attachments, into its electronic equivalent, a system which I named email, a term that I was the first to coin. On August 30th, 1982, I was awarded the first U.S. copyright for the invention of this system, recognizing me as the inventor of email. At that time, copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I went on to MIT, where I earned 4 degrees across multiple systems of engineering, electrical, mechanical, design, biological. That training led me to invent many other systems for advancing humankind. Echomail, the world's first intelligent email management system. Cytosol, a computational biology system for eliminating animal testing to discover new medicines faster, cheaper, and safer. And to the creation of a whole systems methodology for certifying clean food. These innovations led me back on a Fulbright to India, where I discovered the missing link between Eastern medicine and Western systems theory, honoring my grandmother, to develop Your Body, Your System, a powerful tool that will help you understand how your body is a system and how the inputs of food, supplements, and exercise bring your body back to its natural system state. And Systems Health, an integrative educational discipline that is now integrated into the VA Shiva platform that will enable you to learn the science of systems, the science of everything, be it your body as a system or our society and politics as a system, to reveal the foundational interrelationships between truth, freedom, health. Now is the time for you to be the light, learn the science of systems, build community, and weaponize yourself to unleash the activism necessary to deliver truth, freedom, health in your local community. Welcome to VA Shiva.